This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ready to go? Okay. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salam ala abdillahi wa rasulih Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. So today inshaAllah ta'ala we are starting a new class in a number of different ways. The first thing that's new about this class is we're starting a brand new topic. And the second thing which is new about this class is that for the first time, we have the sister side separate from the brother side. And we mentioned about that last week. And alhamdulillah, we have quite a few new people came on both sides, which is really good for us. It means that we can get more participation from everyone. And we have an audio link to the girls' side so that we can hear their answers, because we know what it's like with the boys trying to answer questions. It's like a wall of silence while they all think about, oh, what's the answer to this? And usually the girls have got lots of good answers. So inshallah ta'ala, let's see what we can come up with, inshallah. So we actually thought today we would start a brand new topic, and the brand new topic we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum. So I've got a question for you, and I'm going to start with the girls. And my question is, what makes somebody a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What makes someone a sahabi? Go ahead. Okay, very good. So the girls got the answer right. So now I want to hear from the boys before I tell you what the girls' answer was. What do you think? What makes someone a sahabi? A companion? What do you think? At home, those people who are watching YouTube at home, what do you think? What makes someone a sahabi? Yes, Habib. Ah, okay. No, we're talking about somebody who is with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What makes somebody someone who is his companion? Any of the boys got any idea? Okay, so the answer we got from the girl's side was completely correct. They said someone who met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam during his lifetime, believing in him, and died as a Muslim. Okay, so let's go through those points that we said. What was the first point we said? Someone who? Boys. Someone who met, what did we say? Someone who met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam during his lifetime. So not somebody who met him in a dream, not someone who met him Yawm al-Qiyamah. Inshallah, we will meet him Yawm al-Qiyamah, and we will have to drink, inshallah, we hope so. We'll be from those people who are going to drink from the glasses that he gives out to all of the Muslims, and the person who drinks from it is never going to be thirsty again from the hawd. But that doesn't make you sahabi. You have to meet him in his lifetime. How long ago did the Prophet die? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, roughly speaking. From the boys, who can tell me roughly? I don't want an exact number of years. Roughly. Are we talking about 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago? What do you think, boys?
About
1,000, a little bit more than 1,000. Very good. Not a bad guess, though. Not far away. Yes, Mu'adh.
1,500.
Not far away. A little bit less.
1,300.
A little bit more. About 1,400 and a bit. Yeah, 1,400 a bit. How do we know that? Guys, how do we know? Girls, how do we know that? Yeah, how do we know that, girls? What was the question? The question was that how do we know that the Prophet ﷺ died around 1400 years ago? What do we have that is an easy way of knowing? Now I need that answer again. Something much easier. You girls are trying something way too complicated. Something super easy. I'm looking at it right now. Okay, it's changed. Yeah, I'm looking at it again. And it's changed again. Any ideas, girls? Okay. Was that answer from the Quran? No, you're right. You guys are right. You've got a lot of information which is good about Sahaba told us, and we can read the Quran. But such an easy answer. What's the easy answer, boys? Let's see. Mu'adh, go on. From the date which is written on the board. The Islamic year is 1442. And that's the year that the people moved to Medina, or the Muslims moved to Medina, right? And how long did the Prophet ﷺ live in Medina? MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Maybe you need to study for 52 years. No. I can't hear. I think your answer was right. 10, mashallah, 10 years. So if we take 1442 and we minus 10, so now we know. Very easy. Easy for us to tell the difference. Okay, very good. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were some people who met him while he was alive. Okay, you with me so far? Yeah? Girls, you with me so far? Yeah, while the Prophet was alive, they met him. And when they met him, they were Muslim. Why do we have to say that? Why do we emphasize, or why do we say that they were Muslim at that time? Why do we need to say that? Girls, what do you think? Go. Girls, make it snappy. Because a non-Muslim who met him couldn't be classed as a Sahabi, right? So for example, when Abu Sufyan was at that time, when he was a non-Muslim. No, let's give a better example. Let's give an example of someone who didn't become a Muslim at all. Let's give the example of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl, he was the enemy of the Prophet, right? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, he was his enemy. When he met the Prophet, did he become a Sahabi? No. He didn't become a Sahabi. So to be a Sahabi, you have to meet the Prophet ﷺ during the Prophet's life while that person is a Muslim. And that person has to die as a Muslim. So if somebody met him and then changed their religion, or met him and then went backwards from their religion, or met him and then they didn't die as a Muslim, they're not from the Sahaba. So it has to be someone who met him during his lifetime, and at the time they met him, they were a Muslim, and when they died as a Muslim. Okay, I've got some questions about that. What about a baby? What about a tiny little baby who met the Prophet ﷺ? Let's say they were just born, and their mom or their dad took them to the Prophet ﷺ and gave him, and they met him. Are they a Sahabi or not? Are they a companion or not? Boys, put your hand up. Boys, put your hand up and say, how many of you think a small baby who met the Prophet ﷺ is a companion? How many hands? Girls, we just do show of hands. Count the hands. How many think they were a companion? Little baby. Given to the Prophet ﷺ. He's a little baby. Is it a Sahabi or not? So we've got four and a half, five and a bit, six people think yes. Put your hands up if you think no, they're not a Sahabi. How many no's you have on the girl's side? Okay. Seven think? Two think yes. The people who think no, why do you think no? MashaAllah, the baby's not a Muslim. Ah. Lala, very good. You made a very good point. But the problem is here we have a hadith. Kullu mauludin, or ma min mauludin illa hu yuladu ala al-fitra. Every single child is born as a Muslim.
How about if their parents are not Muslim?
Their parents are the ones who change them. So it was a good try, and I like your reasoning, your clever reasoning. You thought, okay, maybe they haven't chosen to be a Muslim yet. It's a very good answer. But actually, because that child is born with Muslim parents, they're born into Islam also. They're born into Islam. And they met the Prophet ﷺ as a Muslim. And most importantly, when they grew up and died, how did they die?
As a Muslim.
So they're from the Sahaba then. Yeah? So even the small baby. Okay, I've got another question. What about if someone met the Prophet ﷺ and he couldn't see him? Like, for example, he was blind and he couldn't see the Prophet ﷺ and he met him. Is he from the Sahaba?
Yes.
How many of you think yes? Okay, almost everybody thinks yes. Okay. Someone who thinks yes from the girls, why do you think yes? Some of the people said, Man ra'a an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever sees the Prophet. But he didn't see the Prophet. Because he met him, so it doesn't matter whether he saw him with his eyes or not. If he met him, it was enough. What about if he didn't meet him, as in he didn't spend time with him a long time, but he just saw him from far away? Is he a Sahabi or not?
No.
A lot of people said no. Let's say, for example, Hajjat al-Wada', the farewell Hajj, 100,000 companions made Hajj. Not everybody could go up, 100,000 people can't go up everybody and meet the Prophet ﷺ. Some of them saw him from far, but they made Hajj with him. Here everyone thinks no, and the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Because here, it's enough for them. Some of the scholars, they said whoever saw, some said whoever met. In any case, the point that they were in the same place as him, like that, they were among his people, That's enough for them to be from the companions, even if they didn't spend a long time with him or they just saw him from a bit far away. They're still from one of the companions. Okay. What about someone who was living in that time, and when they heard about the Prophet ﷺ, they became a Muslim and they died as a Muslim, and the Prophet ﷺ even prayed on their janazah, but they never ever ever went to actually see him and visit him, and they were never in the same place as him? Who am I giving the example of? Does anyone know from the seerah whose example that is? There's a few people, but one example clearly, very famous example. Girls, do you know whose example I'm talking about? Very famous person. He lived in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. He became Muslim. He was an excellent Muslim. And he died, and when he died, the Prophet ﷺ prayed over him. He prayed his funeral prayer. But he never ever went to see him, he never met him. If I tell you that he was a king, does it help? No one knows. An-Najashi, rahimahullah ta'ala. An-Najashi, he was someone who believed in the Prophet ﷺ. He was the king of what land?
Ethiopia.
Yeah, what is now Ethiopia? What did you call it in that time?
Abyssinia,
right? What is now Ethiopia and that area. He was the king and he was a good man. He was a Christian. And when the Sahaba came to live in Ethiopia or in Abyssinia and they became Muslim, they told him about Islam and he became Muslim, but he never got a chance to come to the Prophet ﷺ and see him. And when he died, the Prophet ﷺ prayed over him, but his body was not there. He prayed Salat al-Ghaib. He prayed his funeral prayer from a distance because nobody prayed over him at that time. Because he died in a land, there was nobody who was Muslim with him in that land. Okay, very good. Last question I'm going to ask you. Do you remember the beginning of the story of the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ? Do you remember? Do you remember we talked about a wise man who was a cousin of Khadija radiallahu anha? Does anyone remember his name? What was his name? Waraqa ibn Nawfal. He met the Prophet ﷺ, right? Okay. He met him, right? Agreed. Okay. He believed in him. He said that, I wish the day will come that I will support you. And he believed in him. Okay, what's the problem with Waraqa? What's the problem with counting Waraqa among the companions? He died, he died believing in the Prophet ﷺ. Be a bit more specific. Yes, Mu'adh, what do you think?
He didn't die as a Muslim.
No, I think that's not really that. I know what you're trying to say, but we need to find a better way of saying it, because he died as a believer. He died as a believer.
But he didn't die as a Muslim.
Why? Yeah, he believed in Allah. He believed in the oneness of Allah. And he believed Muhammad Rasulullah. Why didn't he? Why? Why? Very good. Give me that answer again. Because Islam didn't come at that time. Because at that time, the Prophet ﷺ was not told to preach Islam to anyone. You couldn't convert to Islam. There was no Islam to convert to at that time. That was before the time when the da'wah was started to tell the people to become Muslim. So he believed in the Prophet ﷺ, and he believed in the oneness of Allah, and he died as a muwahid, as someone who worshipped Allah alone, and a believer. But he died before you were able to accept Islam, before anyone was able to accept Islam. Naam. Okay. Yes. Did all of them? Yeah, all of the people who made Hajj with the Prophet ﷺ. Yeah, they all did. Yes.
Did he go to heaven or hell?
Who? Waraqa. No, inshallah ta'ala, we hope that he was from the people of Jannah, inshallah. What it seems to us. And Allah knows best. Okay, so now we talked a little bit about who's a companion. Why is it important? Why should we mind who is a companion? Why should we care who is a companion? Why is it important? Mu'ath.
Because Yawm Qiyamah.
What about Yawm Qiyamah?
Because
if
you don't die as a Muslim, it depends what happens here.
Okay, very good. You dying as a Muslim, I agree with you. But about a companion, why do we want to know about them? Why is it important to know about them? Yes.
More knowledge,
okay, but I could learn about anyone. I could learn about famous people in history. I could learn about the kings of England, King George and King something, James and King whatever. Why I want to learn about Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman? Okay, the girls gave us an answer. The girl said, because they learnt from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's one answer. There's many answers. So they were the ones who were with him. Did any of you spend time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. Do you wish you could? You wish you could, right? Okay, but if you can't, what can you do? You can only learn about him and learn about the people who were with him. Now, I know you boys like your football and football whatever players and this and that. And subhanAllah, many of you, if I ask you to name me 10 players who play for Liverpool, you can name me 10 players. If I ask you to name me 10 players who play for Manchester United, you can name me 10 players. If I ask you to name me the 10 people that were promised paradise from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, you say, what is that? Do you see what's wrong with that? Do you see what's the problem? Is that when it comes to the people who Allah loved, we don't know them. And when it comes to the people who, perhaps there are some Muslims among them, but the majority of them, أكثرهم الفاسقون, majority of them are فاسقون. They're bad people who don't obey Allah, who don't pray, but we know their names, we know what they do every week, we know what car they drive, we know what hairstyle they have, we know how much money they came for, we know how many goals they scored last season. But when it comes to Abu Bakr and Umar, we are like, who are they? Is that the brother who comes to the masjid? We don't know, subhanAllah. For you see, the problem here is that we need to know those people because Allah loved those people. What did Allah say about them? Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with him. And Allah said about them, وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. All of them, Allah promised paradise. Is anyone here can say Allah promised them paradise? Anybody? No? Nobody got like a message, came in their dreams that you got paradise? Nobody got a letter, came to their house that says, here's paradise is for you? No, you can't guarantee. وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. Those people, all of them, Allah promised them paradise. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Those Muslims that came together and they made a promise under the tree, the companions of the Prophet, Allah said, Allah was pleased with them. And Allah Azzawajal said that He told us that He loves them. And Allah told us that they're going to be the people of paradise. And Mu'adh, you mentioned an interesting point. You said to me, because of Yawm Al-Qiyamah, why is it important to know about the companions when we talk about Yawm Al-Qiyamah? Talk about when we die and come back. What do the girls think? Why is it important that when I get resurrected after I die, that I should know who is Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali? And Talha and Sa'id and Sa'id and Abdul Rahman. No, that's a good try. The girl said, will they ask for the Prophet to ask the day for the Day of Judgment to start? No. I give you a clue. It's from the hadith of Anas. It was the hadith that made Anas more happy than any hadith after he became Muslim. Anas said, after I became Muslim, there is nothing made me happy like this hadith. The hadith is, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab." A person will be resurrected with the person he loves. Yani on the Day of Judgment, the person you love, that's who you'll be with. And Anas said, "I love Abu Bakr, and I love Umar, and I hope Allah will put me with them yawm al-qiyamah, even though I didn't do the same things that they did. I couldn't do as much good as they did, but because I love them, I hope that Allah will put me with them." So that makes a big difference, huh? You imagine now if I ask you the people you love the most, and sometimes people thinking about non-Muslim names, and just ask yourself, you love that person so much, you want to be with them Yawm Al-Qiyamah. If Allah puts them into Jahannam, you want to be right next to them. You don't want to be next to them, huh? Now suddenly you don't want to be resurrected with Messi and Ronaldo and... Nah. Now he says, I want to be far, far away. You want to be far, far away. And Allah only knows, maybe they will become Muslim, maybe they will die as Muslims, inshallah, perhaps. But it's the people that... the people you love so much, and if you come with them Yawm Al-Qiyamah, maybe that person not a Muslim. But if you know those Sahaba and you love those Sahaba, and inshallah, Yawm Al-Qiyamah, you can be with them, even if you didn't do the same things they did. Allah said, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. If you believe like they believe, or if they believe like you believe, then they're guided. What does that mean? That if you believe the same way like the companions believed, then this means you're on the right way. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever opposes the messenger, whoever opposes the messenger after guidance came to them and they follow a way other than the way of the companions, they follow a different way. What's going to happen if you follow a different way from the companions? It's not going up any more than that. It's the maximum I can do. So if you follow a different way to the way of the companions, where do you think that way is going to take you? Jahannam, wasa'at masira. What a place, it's a horrible place to be. So now we understood who the Sahaba are, okay? And what did we understand? We understand why we should learn about them. Okay. Do you think that all of the Sahaba were the same in the sight of Allah? Or were some of them better than others? What do the girls think? Is the microphone level better for the girls now, by the way? So the girls think that they are, some of them are different. What do the boys think? You think they're all the same, and all of them are the same in the sight of Allah. You think some of them are better than others. What do you think, Yusuf Kurdi? You think they're all the same, huh? Okay. Mu'adh, what do you think? Like they're different?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have evidence one way or the other? What's the evidence? I'm going to ask it, 1 second, I'm going to ask the cameraman, what's the evidence? The answer is they're different, but I need the evidence for it, from the cameraman. So you guys, maybe unless one of you memorize, who has memorized 3 juz of the Quran? Okay, you can give me the evidence then on the girl's side. Okay, so the question is, we said that the companions are not all of them the same. Some of them are better than others. But I asked for someone who's memorized at least 3 juz of the Quran. That person has to tell me why. I want evidence, a proof. Someone says, how can you show me that they're different? How? Well, I believe they're all the same. I've already mentioned the ayah once. Okay, if I start the ayah, or I start the bit that I want. La yastawi minkum. Huh? La yastawi minkum. Man anfaqa min qabla al-fathi wa qatal ulaika a'zamu darajatan min alladhina anfaqu min ba'du wa qatalu. وَكُلَّمْ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. Surah Al-Hadid, ayah number 10. Okay, so we learned now, maybe that was more than 3 juz, a little bit. Anyway, what we learned is that they're not the same, because Allah said they're not the same. Those who became Muslim earlier were better in the sight of Allah than those who became Muslim later. But all of them Allah promised paradise. So who is the best of all of the Sahaba? Who is the best of the best of the best of the best? What do you think?
Hamza?
Okay, nearly, not quite. What do you think, Abu? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Very good. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiyallahu an. And after Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, who's the best? Umar. Umar, radiyallahu an. And after Umar, who is the best? Oh, okay, the girl's interesting. No, no. Girl's not wrong. Okay, what do you think? Uthman. Uthman. And after Uthman? Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'een. And after that, The 10 who were promised, now we don't, after that, we don't have an order, specific order, but we say the 10 who were promised paradise. So can anyone tell me, after those four, who were the 10 who were promised paradise? Oh, the girls think they can do it straight away. The girls think they can name all of the six. So we said 10 people who were promised paradise. Are they the only 10, by the way, who were promised paradise? No. But they were all promised paradise in the same time, in the same hadith. 10. Four of them we mentioned, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. There's six left. Oh, the girls are just naming, bringing the names one after the other, like the, just one, two, three, four, five, six, like that. Okay. Wallah, we love Hamza, wallah. I love Hamza too, wallah, radiallahu anhu. But he's not from them. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, excellent. Very good, we got one. Not Bilal, radiallahu anhu. You're right, Bilal was a Sahabi, radiallahu anhu. We're going to learn about his story. But he's not from that particular tent. Talha. Talha ibn what? What's his second name? Ibn Ubaidillah. Okay. So how, who did we have? We had Talha. We had... Who else did you guys say? Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Do you know the line of poetry completely? The girls, one by one, they gave. What's the line of poetry for the girls? Do you know it? بالديانه والتقاء وامدح جماعه بيئه الرضوان اكرم بطلحه والزبير وسعدهم وسعيدهم وبعابد الرحمن وابو عبيده بالديانه والتقاء وامدح جماعه بيئه الرضوان from Nuniyat al-Qahtani. That's one way of memorizing it. So we had six. We have to learn about them. Okay. So far we only mentioned from among the men. We only mentioned among the men. We didn't mention the first person to become Muslim. Who was the first ever person to become Muslim? The very first person who accepted Islam from the Prophet ﷺ. The girls say they know, they're just on a roll. You haven't got your phones out, have you? You're not on Wikipedia, okay. Go on. Khadija radiallahu anha. Khadija was the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, and she was the first person to become Muslim. And she was the first woman to become Muslim. And the first man to become Muslim was Abu Bakr, and the first child to become Muslim. The girls know, who do the boys think? The first young person, the first child to become Muslim. No. She has the answer. What's the answer? Ali, mashallah, very good. Ali, radiallahu anhu. Very, very good. So we have to learn about all of these people, and we have to learn about who they were. First of all, I'm going to ask you a few more little questions, just so we get an idea about who the Sahaba were, okay? How many of you can tell me some of the Prophet's wives' names? Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers. You said Khadija. Okay, but I want proper names. You can't give me just first names. I want to know who they were. Okay, so Aisha bint Abi Bakr. That's one thing they said. Aisha, Abu Bakr's daughter. So Abu Bakr's daughter, Aisha, she married the Prophet ﷺ. Who else's daughter, Who else's daughter, famous person's daughter, married the Prophet ﷺ? Boys, where are we? Abu Bakr's daughter, Aisha, she married the Prophet ﷺ. Sah? True? Okay, who else's daughter married the Prophet ﷺ who was famous like that? Hafsa, the daughter of Umar. Umar's daughter Hafsa. Hafsa bint Umar. Okay, Hafsa, Umar's daughter. Okay, who else do we know? Don't give. Wallah, you're coming up with funny answers, man. Don't give me no wrong answers like that. Let's see, yeah.
This isn't an answer, but it's a question. How old were all his wives when he married them?
They were all different ages. Some of them were a lot older, some of them were a lot younger. But the only one that he married who'd never been, she never got married before, is Aisha. Everybody else was married before.
How old was she?
Aisha, she was very young. And we're going to talk about her. When we come to her story, we'll talk about Salama. Very good. Salama. Excellent. Who else do we know? Who's the first person the Prophet ﷺ married after Khadija? Everybody confuses wives and daughters. Everybody confuses the names of his wives and the names of his daughters. A lot of people confuse it, huh? Get the wrong way around. So from his daughters was Fatima, Kulthum, Ruqayya, okay, so you guys have got a lot of homework to do. Fatima, okay, Fatima's name went gone, radiallahu anha. Okay, next question, guys. When we say the names of the Sahaba, what do we say after their name? When we mention them or we talk about them, what do we say? Very good. Radiyallahu anhum or anhu for a man and anha for a girl, for a lady. Radiyallahu anhu for a man and radiyallahu anha for a lady. Okay, what does it mean? Radiyallahu anhum or radiyallahu anha or radiyallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with him or her or them. May Allah be pleased with them. And Allah is pleased with them, right? Okay. Very good. So the first story that I'm going to tell you about, and today we're just going to do a little bit of it, like maybe 10 minutes and then we're going to stop. Okay? Because I know you guys, it's too much for you. You go too long and you lose concentration. I want to tell you about a very important story. And this is a story of a very important Sahabi. But I'm frightened you might not have heard of this Sahabi before. Okay? Very, very famous Sahabi. But I'm frightened you might not have heard of him. His name was Abdullah ibn Uthman. Did any of you hear about this Sahabi before? Famous, wasn't he? What did you hear about him? You heard his name, Abdullah ibn Uthman, huh? Very famous Sahabi. Anybody else hear his name? What do you know about him? Okay. Anybody else know anything about him? Very famous Sahabi, extremely famous. His name is Abdullah ibn Uthman. Any of the adults heard about this Sahabi before? Sahabi Jalil, Mashhur, very famous. His name was Abdullah ibn Uthman. If I told you that Uthman's name was Abi Quhafa, would that help? He is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. That's the name, the real name of Abu Bakr. His name was Abdullah, and his father's name was Abu Quhafa, and Abu Quhafa's actual name was Uthman. So his name was Abdullah ibn Uthman. Taymi. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Okay. I want to ask you a quick question, just to find out how much you know about Abu Bakr. Quick question, quick fire, like I'm going to ask you five questions. I just want to find out how much you know about him. Okay? First question. Do you think he was older than the Prophet ﷺ, or do you think he was younger than the Prophet ﷺ? The girls are like 50-50. Boys all got their hand up. Who thinks older, boys? Who thinks he was older? Who thinks he was younger? Who doesn't think very much? Two boys for the hand. Okay. He was younger than the Prophet ﷺ by about 2 years and a half, 2.5 years, roughly. He was born after the year of the elephant by about 2.5 years. Okay. He was given the name As-Siddiq. Does anyone know what that name means? Abu Bakr As-Siddiq. One second, girls. Yes? The one who believed in Allah. That's very close. That's not bad. That's not bad. It's close. Nearly. Yes. No. Very good. The one who believed in what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Okay, girls, you can give me this then. Why was he given the name of Siddiq? Why? The girls, I'm going to let the girls answer, boys, so you put your arms down. Don't hurt your arms. Why was he given the name As-Siddiq? We said, what did we say it means? The one who believes in everything the Prophet ﷺ said. Why was he given the name As-Siddiq? Okay, very good. Yeah, the girls got it right. When the Prophet ﷺ went to Jerusalem, when the Prophet ﷺ went to Jerusalem in the night journey, and then he went to the heavens, they came to Abu Bakr and they said, "Do you know what Muhammad says? He says he went to Jerusalem and came back in one night." What did Abu Bakr say? He said, "I believe him." He said, "You believe him?" He said, "I believe something more than that. I believe what he tells me about the news from Allah, what he gives me about the heavens, what's happened and what Allah said. I believe him in this, so of course I believe he went to Jerusalem and came back." One of the things they said about Abu Bakr is they said something about him in the time before Islam, that he was one of the very few companions who never, ever worshipped idols and never drank alcohol. Because a lot of the companions, they were part of that old religion, right? They were part of the religion of idols, and then they became Muslim later on, right? Yeah? They changed after they became Muslim and they stopped worshipping the idols and they worshipped Allah. But Abu Bakr was someone who never, ever worshipped idols in his life. And he was someone who never drank alcohol in his life, even though at that time it was not haram. And he was, it's said that he was one of the people who he didn't hesitate at all when the Prophet ﷺ told him about Islam. They said, nearly everybody said, let me think about it. When the Prophet ﷺ told him about Islam, okay, Islam, let me have a think about it. He didn't think, he just said, I believe. I accept it straight away. So we learned his name. We learned a little bit about his name. And we learned a little bit about how he believed in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam straight away. Okay. I want to know what Abu Bakr is famous for. What do you know about him? What was he famous for? Okay, what do you think? Sorry? He was very wealthy. So he was very wealthy in the beginning of Islam. He was very wealthy. And he gave all his money for charity. What did he used to do with his money that was very famous? What he used to do with his money? What kind of charity? Very, very famous. Yeah, food for the poor. He was famous for food for the poor, but he was famous for something else. Freeing slaves. So the Muslims who were enslaved, do you know what that means? They were slaves, like they were owned by somebody else. And they like it's not like a job where you get paid. You don't get paid anything. That person owns you and you have to do whatever they say. And they used to really hurt the slaves because those slaves, when they became Muslim, they didn't have anybody to help them. So they used to get hurt and they used to get beaten and they used to get a lot of bad things happen. So Abu Bakr used to buy them and let them go free. Who's one of the most famous people that Abu Bakr let him go free? He bought him and he let him go free. One of the most famous Sahabi that Abu Bakr, he bought him and let him go free. Bilal, radiallahu an. That Abu Bakr, when he saw that Bilal was in slavery, he, 1 second, let me just fix this. That he, when he saw that Bilal was like in that situation, he paid the price to get him free. He was famous for letting people, for buying slaves and letting them go free. What else was he famous for? Okay, we're going to learn more about his life, but I want to know just generally what you know about him. He was famous for his truthfulness. What else was he famous for?
Kindness.
Kindness, very good. He was famous for being very soft-hearted. When he used to recite the Quran, what did they used to say about him when he used to recite the Quran? That he used to cry so much that people couldn't hear his recitation. He was very soft-hearted. What else was he famous for? Do you know about him that he was famous for? No, not quite, nearly. What was he famous for? He was famous for always being with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Being with him all, more than anybody, he was with him. All the time he was with him. Very good. Last thing I'm going to ask you for today, so we don't make the lesson too long. What do you know about Abu Bakr's children? Okay, The first one that we know for sure is we know Aisha radiallahu. Everybody knows Aisha, right? Aisha was the Prophet's wife. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anha. And she was Abu Bakr's daughter. She was Abu Bakr's daughter. Okay, she had a full brother. She only had one full brother. Meaning same mom, same dad. She only had one full brother. What was his name? The girls know. What do the boys know? She had only one brother who was the same mom, same dad. She had other brothers who were from different mom. Half brothers. But she had only one full brother. One brother who was same mom, same dad. Her mom's name was Umruman. What was his name? What's your name? Khalas, Abdurrahman. Abdurrahman. He didn't become Muslim straight away. He didn't become Muslim straight away. So Umruman, she was the mother of Aisha and Abdurrahman. Okay. Other children of Abu Bakr. Who was Aisha's sister? Very famous. No, not Asiya. Girls, come on. Asma. Mashallah. Asma. Asma was Aisha's half-sister. Her mother was Qatila bint Abd al-Azza. She had Asma, she had a brother. What was her brother's name? So Aisha's brother, full brother, was Abdurrahman, and Asma's full brother was Abdullah. Okay, who else do we know about Abu Bakr's? He had a very, very famous son who was very famous for his knowledge of Islam. And he lived in the house of Ali radiallahu anhu. And he became the governor of Egypt. Very famous from the his name was Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. And we mentioned Asma, we mentioned Aisha. And he also had a daughter called Kulthum. He also had a daughter called Kulthum. So those were Abu Bakr's children. Last question then, we finish off. It's a tough one. I don't know anyone's going to get this, but we try. What was Abu Bakr's responsibility before? It's a hard question, but I'll ask anyway. What was his responsibility before Islam? You know, people had, like, for example, one person is in charge of giving water to the pilgrims, one person is in charge of the keys of the Kaaba, one person is in charge of something else, battles, fighting, one person is in charge of keeping the money. What was Abu Bakr in charge of for Quraysh? Ooh, very close. Not the girl said they're camels, but you're actually very close in a way you probably don't expect. But you're very close. No, not sheep. No, now you're getting further away. Yusuf, what do you think? No, not the weapons. Good try. No. This is a difficult one. I'll leave you on that one for a second. I'm going to leave that one for you as a homework. And I'm going to ask you, what was Abu Bakr famous about being knowledgeable of before Islam? What was he really famous for knowing? Like he, even in Islam, he was the most knowledgeable person on this topic. And the Prophet ﷺ praised his knowledge, and it was from before Islam. It's not to do with religion. Do you think he was famous for his knowledge of medicine? Was he famous for his knowledge of languages? No, before Islam. Before Islam. Was he famous for his knowledge of fighting? The girls think he was famous of his knowledge of the previous scriptures. That's not right. Very famous for something, knowing something. It's a bit difficult, but try guessing. What do you think? He was really famous. Girls, any idea? Boys, any idea? No? Yusuf, what do you think? Huh? No, he was famous for knowing a knowledge, a type of knowledge. Like I give example, like medicine or fighting or wrestling or, you know, languages. There was a type of knowledge he was famous for. What do you think? No, not fighting. Not trading, no. Not maths. Not reading. Now, he was famous for knowing the names of people's fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers. People's lineage. He knew all the people in the tribes of Quraysh, where they're from, and his grandfather, his father's name, and his grandfather's name, and his, who did he come from, and which tribe is he from, and which tribe did that guy, and how is that guy related to that guy, all the family relations he knew. What do you call that in English? What do you call the name of that science in English? It's got a name, an English name. Yeah, like a family tree, what do you call it? But it's got a proper name. Ancestry, yeah, okay, ancestry, yep. Genealogy. Genealogy, right? Genealogy or ancestry, that's what he was very, very famous for that. Very famous for that. And he was generally loved by Quraysh. Even when Quraysh attacked other people, they tried to leave Abu Bakr for as much as possible because they really, Abu Bakr had a very good reputation among Quraysh. But I want you now to research for homework, because it's a hard, hard question. What was it that Abu Bakr had as responsibility in his tribe of Quraysh? What was his responsibility? So I gave you examples, some people responsible for the keys of the Kaaba, some people responsible for giving water to the pilgrims. What was Abu Bakr responsible for? You have to tell me by next week. Okay? Research it, tell me by next week. Okay, does anyone have any questions? We finished off today with introduction to the Sahaba. Does everyone know who a Sahabi is now? Yeah? Everybody knows who is a Sahabi. And everybody knows why we should love the Sahaba. Yeah? And we have to follow them. They're the people who knew Islam properly. And we have to practice Islam the way they practiced Islam. What was your question? Yeah, there'll still be a Sahabi. There'll still be a Sahabi. Yeah, because they met him. They came with him. They were with him. They were with him. Yes. It's different. You can spell it in different ways, but I think the best way to spell it is A-B-U. And you can put a line over the U if you want. And then a space, and then B-A-K-R. Okay? Girls, do you have any questions? Can I ask you a question, girls? How was today in the different side when you guys are not in the main room? Was it okay? It was okay. Could you hear the whole time? And could you see the class okay? And you could answer questions fine on the earpiece, yeah? Alhamdulillah, that's really good. I'm really happy you did that. I know it's not easy to make that transition. It's a bit different, but it makes a big difference, and we had more people come for the class. So next week, we're going to do the full story of Abu Bakr, inshallah. Before Islam, after Islam, and when he became in charge of the Muslims. Because remember, Abu Bakr, what did he become? The Khalifa. He became the person in charge of all of the Muslims after the death of who? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay guys, jazakumullahu khairan. Today, I appreciate you guys listened very nicely and you worked very hard. And inshallah, we'll be back next week with another class. And that's what Allah made easy for me to mention. Allah knows best. Wassalatu wassalam ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.